It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. I am excited. We have Dean Gray on the show today, talking about what's happening with influencers and social media. That's going to be a great conversation. But first, the quote of the day. The quote of the day: you can't always get what you want, but if you try, sometimes you find you get what you need. By the Rolling Stones. Just love the fact that it emphasizes, but if you try, sometimes you find you get what you need. You get what you need. All right, well, I'm not going to, embarrass myself too much by trying to sing that lyric. But anyway, let's get the party started with my guest today, Dean Gray, founder and CEO of Skylabs, who is known for being a futurist. And my beautiful teleprompter just blinked out. So anyway, Dean Gray, who is known for being a futurist. you got to love technology, my friend.
No worries.
And who is also known for being a gamification expert. Dean Gray, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you.
Well, all right. So let's talk about this because, you're teaching people, if you will, that social media is starting to fail influencers and brands in general. Talk about this. Why do you feel that social media is starting to fail?
Sure. Well, first, thanks for having me on the show. Second, the thing that's happened right now in the last 10 years is what we call is next generation community building. The first generation of community building was come to my live event, come to my gym, come to my concert, come to my monster truck pull, come to some sort of gathering, which is what a lot of businesses exist on. And then second generation community building was, oh, and outside of this gathering, could you follow me on social media? And it gave people a place to go congregate and carry on the conversation. And then as time went on, everyone woke up and realized, wait a minute, this was my community. I recommended they go to this other person's platform. And then suddenly over there makes more money off my community than I do. Mm. And that was what I call the naive existence of, hey, it was my tribe. What the heck? And so next generation community building is small is huge, according to Edelman Group, one of the largest PR firms in the world, is that today people are looking to have their own affinity groups, their own gatherings, where they basically want their own gathering where it's they can control it, they can train, track, and reward their people, but more importantly, they own it. And so for social media, you have all this generation of Snapchatters and Instagrammers and YouTubers that came out and dominated with suddenly building tribes online and making their first 10 grand a month, sometimes 50 grand a month, great money, like a naive rock star who doesn't realize that they don't own the label yet. You're just on tour for the first 2 years and excited that someone knows your name and you're making some money.
Right.
Now what's happened is that now social media has caught on. You might be familiar with the word demonetization. They're demonetizing all these channels like crazy. It's actually come a term called the ad apocalypse, is what they've called it, where the largest brands in the world have now pulled back from social media, realizing that they get less than 0.01% engagement when they try to market through social media. So big brands are pulling away, the ad apocalypse, demonetization, censorship issues now. Entire careers can be gone if you say a word that catches an algorithm and they just shut you down. And then the big surprise is if you've got 1 million people on social media following you, just any number, you think right. that when you shoot a message out, it goes to your 1 million people. It doesn't. They truncate it now like email to less than 4%. So not only have you lost reach, you've lost control, demonetization. So that's what's freaking everybody out about social media.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and it's interesting. I never thought about that, but you're absolutely right. I mean, when you think about it, here you are, you're at a conference, seminar, rock concert, whatever, and you say, hey, follow me on whatever the platform is. Mm-hmm. And it's great because that is a great place to connect with your people. But as you said, now Facebook or the platform, Instagram, whatever it is making money off of your people, off of your recommendation.
Yeah.
And in some cases, unless you have a large following, you don't get remunerated for that. I mean, so an example, you mentioned 1 million. If you have 1 million followers, it's probably pretty good chance you're going to get some kind of remuneration. But if you have, let's say, I don't know, 10,000 followers, 50,000 followers, you don't even get as much as a thank you from the platforms.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, one of the other topics here is your small tribe is worth way more money than you could have imagined. And this is where people are waking up. And one of the first people that really hit on this was speaking tours for years with Malcolm Gladwell or Tim Ferriss, a lot of the big names that were out there as we go around. And Tim was one of the first ones who tried to come out and explain, if you've got 1,000, not millions, just 1,000 loyal fans, you should be a millionaire. And people have no idea, because they just assume you have to have millions. And so that's what Edelman Group was explaining, is what if you have 50,000 people following you? That's a huge consumer base, but it means zero on YouTube or Instagram. So a lot of people are waking up to that.
All right. I have to ask Tim, maybe you know the answer. If I have 1,000 people, you're saying 1,000 people, when you mentioned the word loyal, that might be a slightly different adjective, but if you're saying you have 1,000 loyal people, you should be a millionaire. Is there an explanation behind that?
Absolutely. So let me first lead with why brands are starting to seek out micro-influencers. It's because of what I mentioned. Forrester Research came out in 2017 with one of the largest studies ever done on brand engagement with the top 7 social media sites. And that's what came to that conclusion, that people don't really engage with brands when they're there to be social. And so it's less than 0.01. That's what led to a lot of the major companies just pulling their money back. And what they're doing is going, we're not just going to spray and pray on social media. And we're also not going to fall for someone who's got 10 million followers thinking that those people actually believe in them or trust them. Because usually when you follow someone, it's because they're cute or they're a train wreck. But that doesn't mean you have any buying power. Okay.
So true.
So what they say is let's not confuse who follows you for who values your opinion. And that's right. Been the big awareness right now. So what they're doing is they're realizing that micro-influencers, people with 1,000 people, your local yoga instructor, fitness coach, life coach, speaker, people with 5 to 10,000 people, when they make a recommendation to their community, people actually jump. They do something. And that's the difference between a fan base and a tribe. So brands are pulling back looking. And here's how that plays out. Typically about 1,000 people right now following you, worth about 1 million. I'll explain how. Let's say 50,000 people worth 5 to 6 million. But here's the big shocker. If you just had 100,000 to 200,000, well, let's say 200,000 people following you that did something once a month, and that's when I say loyal. If you owned your own platform where you had the data and you had 100,000 people doing something once a month on that platform, that's worth well over $100 million today, and companies are getting acquired for it all day long. Same size tribe, 100,000 people doing something once a day, which is considered a daily active user, close to $500 million. And that's when you hear about all these apps that are getting acquired for $19 billion, $1 billion, and yet some of them don't even make any money. And people are going, how? Because it's the cost of what it would take you to go find 100,000 people that don't just know who you are through marketing, but they do something every day or every month. It's an outrageous amount of money. So that's the reason they're worth so much money and people are really waking up. But they never had an option to go build their own tribe or platform. So that's why we've all been using third party.
Yeah, that's interesting. Very interesting. You know, and one of the numbers that you spit out was, you know, they might have 1 million people, but they have like a 4% or less engagement. I think you I can't remember what word you said.
But
reach. I believe you used it. Reach, 4% reach. And I think that's true. One of my favorite brands to follow, to look at as an experiment when I talk about social media and reach is the actor Vin Diesel. So Vin Diesel, last time I checked, had a little bit over 100 million followers, if you will, on Facebook. Now, I believe that's about the size of Canada. That's
right.
You know, a third of the U.S. population, 100 million. But if you look at his reach, if you look at the people who are doing stuff on his page, you'll notice it's between 2 and 3, maybe sometimes as much as 4%, which when you have 100 million, it can look like a lot. I mean, 30,000 likes is a lot until you realize, oh, that's only 3% or less than that. That's like 0.5%, you know, or a point, whatever, 1.5% or whatever. And so I think that kind of that validates the kind of the numbers that you're talking about.
Well, and yes. And what you're referring to, however, is engagement.
Yeah.
What I was referring to before, it's even worse than that. So you're 100% right. Engagement is not as high, but I'm referring to reach. Reach is this. If Vin Diesel were to shoot a message out to his 30 million followers, what people don't realize is the social media site will only deliver that message to 4% of those 30 million. So think of it like email getting stuck in a spam filter. People have no clue. That's why you get all these folks are going, wait a minute, how come you're not posting? And then a lot of brands or influencers right now are still blind to it. They're like, what do you mean I am posting? I haven't seen anything from you in a while. And then you start to realize, oh my gosh, they've changed their algorithm. When I shoot a message out, it doesn't even go out to your total fan base anymore. That's the big false assumption. So reach has to happen before you have engagement. Because if only 4% of the 30 million even get your message, then you have engagement based off that 4%.
Man. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So this is really why they called it the ad apocalypse. And so just think of it like a rock star. Like I said, your first few years, everyone's developing tribes on social media. Before you know it, you've got 10,000, 50,000. Everyone's trying to figure out what to do with it. You know, and now they're realizing, oh, crud, how do I move these people? Not off social, because you'll never get rid of social, but it basically says, if you want to be my fan, you know where to stay. But if you want to join my tribe, a lot of people now are starting their own apps and platforms. And that's what you see some of the biggest names in the world doing.
Yeah, I love this idea of of this micro, how did you call it? Micro
influencer. The term they're using today is called The term they're using is micro influencer because they're realizing they're not looking for fans, they're looking for micro influencers. And it's really empowering this whole generation who says, you know, where they separate, are people following you because you add value? Like your show, for example, you know, based on how many users you have. One of the things when you do big business, or what I consider a boardroom acquisition style business, is people have no idea that however they currently make money with whatever they do, if they add a tech play or some sort of data play on top of it, you get these 20 to 31 multipliers, which is why you hear about, you know, how can one company be worth a million and another company be worth 100 million and they appear to have the same audience? And that's typically why.
Yeah, that's Dean, that's absolutely amazing. But it makes total sense. Look, if you are a micro influencer, and again, you can influence 10,000 people or 50,000 people, that has a lot more power and is probably more trackable than, again, the Vin Diesels of the world who have 100 million followers, but again, they have similar reach when it's called, you know, they're still going to only influence the same 10 or 50,000 people.
Exactly. And that's what, it's almost what you say. It's called being a victim of your own success. You've gotten so big that now people actually don't listen to you. And so it's very important. It's like, you know, Oprah goes through that. At one point, she was the amazing comeback woman who made it, the underdog. And now that's not relatable at all. She's not an underdog. She's a multi-billionaire. So that story is over. Right?
Yeah.
One of the stories you might like on the value is Bill Gates wrote about this in his book, The Road Ahead, a long time ago. At one point in his career, Bill was coming out with a new product line, and his advisor said, through typical print, radio, TV, and advertising, the stuff Malcolm Gladwell would talk about that shift the billions, if you wanted to get this new product out to the world, it's going to take you about $600 million to get people's attention for 15 seconds, one time. But for the same amount of money, you can go buy this kid who owns Hotmail, a bunch of non-buying cheapo kids referring non-buying cheapo kids on email. And Bill said, why would I do that? They're non-buying people referring people. But the reality is this kid had so many people on Hotmail that it would have taken him, from his analysis, $600 million to go attract that many people just to catch their attention. So he went and offered the kid $40 million when he was in college, and the kid somehow figured it out and said no. Now, of course, my joke is, if you'd offer me $40 million in college, it'd have been over. You could have had my brother, right? So
offer me $40 million today, Dean. I'll give you my brother and, you know,
exactly.
The bones of what's that?
Exactly. So what happened is, get this, he held out for $420 million going back and forth in negotiation of fax machine back in that day. And Bill Gates is quoted for saying, I cannot believe I just paid $400 million and all I got was floppy disk with a bunch of emails. No business, no building, no revenue owned these people. And that was the big shift of billions when people understood you're buying eyeballs, because $400 million was still less expensive than the $600 million through traditional advertising. And he could touch him over and over. And right behind him came Rupert Murdoch when he bought MySpace. Did the same thing. Everyone made fun of him. He paid $500 million, and then he flipped it and made all his money back and doubled it before MySpace disappeared. So that was the first indication of, if you build a tribe, you have no idea how much money your tribe is worth.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. You know, this idea of being a micro influencer, I think, again, it's a absolute disruptive type of thinking. But it, to me, now talking to you, makes total sense, because the power in that, right? I mean, you get somebody who has real reach, real followers. That's a huge value.
And as mentioned, here's why. Because exactly as you mentioned, they're following you because they trust you. That's considered a trust agent. So it's like your doctor or your nutritionist today. So it's and you follow these people not just for the recommendations. And that's the difference. Again, we're not talking about what I call celebrity train wreck or entertainment followings. You know, those people you follow just for fun, you'll do it on social, you're never going to pay anything. But when you're following people who add value, put it this way, it would be like, how much would you pay? Would you pay $2 a month right now if you had one post a month from Richard Branson or someone that you felt knew how to do, who gave you the inside scoop? You might not care at all about his social media lifestyle. You just want insight. It's like the new newspaper today. So And the big thing here is this: the micro influencers are developing more micro influencers, because let's say you're a brand. So we get approached by a lot of brands at Skylab. How do they turn their fans and customers into super enthusiasts? Because what's happened is a lot of people today say this: I don't just want to be your customer, or I don't just want to be your fanboy, you know, if you're a speaker. I want to actually become a micro influencer in your community. I believe in what you do. I stand behind what you do, but I need you to have your own platform so that when I'm doing these things, you recognize me. You know that I've referred 400 people to you. You see that I'm liking and posting. And so the reason we invented this platform was that there was no WordPress for apps. There was no, you know, in the first generation of Tribe Building, people realized everyone had to go online. So WordPress and Wix came out with Websites Made Easy, and they helped over 200 million people go online. And everyone used to argue, well, who needs a website? A business, an individual, how big do you have to be? And they just said, you know what? This is a trend. Pretty much everyone's going to want an online presence. Well, apps are the new websites, and chat is the new form of email. Mm. And so now we had to go invent something where I can pop out platforms for people in 15 minutes that are normally about $5 million. Well, what does that do? That allows a micro influencer to have their own platform so that brands can engage and sponsor and say, if you've got someone who takes 4 fitness actions today or makes the world a better place by stopping a bully or picking up trash, whatever behavior you create in your platform, brands are now coming in going, when they do that 10 times, please pop up a badge that says 50% off Lululemon. So brands want direct access to a micro influencer on a platform where they can reward the behaviors that really matter. And so that's the big trend that's happening right now.
So, okay. So the apps, and I do agree with you, they are the next, you know, they are the websites of today, because I have probably 3 or 4 apps and I've downloaded, I don't know how many apps I've downloaded total, but you know, if they don't perform well, or if they're not giving me the value, I delete them and go on. But,
yep.
You know, so you know, like banking apps, you know, you don't want to go to their website. You just want to go to the app. You want to get that value. Let me ask you this. Let's say I'm a plumber. Mm-hmm. Is an app going to be appropriate for me?
That's a great question. And that's one of the things that goes back to my analogy of, well, who would need a website? If I'm a plumber, would I need a website? You wouldn't think of normally, but the answer is yes. The barrier before was, to go build an app is $100,000 for a rinky dink app that might not work. And if you don't know what you're doing, just like you mentioned, apps are a great way to expose that you have no idea about the science of engagement. You've stepped into someone else's sandbox and good luck. Right? So a lot of us went out and built apps and then realized, wow, we don't know what we're doing. So
yeah.
What we did at Skylab is we created a platform specifically for community building that says, look, you don't know the science of engagement. Let us take all the most addictive features. Let us give you a platform that comes with all the things that you don't even know you need so that people actually use it. So let's say for a plumber example, would they normally go spend a couple $100,000 or $1 million to really get a decent platform? Because there's a difference between an app and a platform. An app is just iOS that does one thing. But when people say app, what they really mean is, I want an Android, an iOS app, and a desktop. Oh, well, that's a platform. That's millions. But they, you know, but they think it's an app.
Right.
So someone like a plumber, if it was all done for him and he could come out and for $3,000 or $5,000 have a $5 million platform overnight, sure, then it would be worth it for him. And so that's what we provide. And here's why. He can train, track, reward his clients. He can have a resource list that they can instantly talk to him without having his phone number with a chat. They can have channels they can follow. He can have products and services listed there because he curates what people are doing. Because when people go to that, say, plumber, that's a trust agent. They want to go to him and see all the things that he's recommending. But more importantly, if that plumber were to go sell his business, well, actually, let me rephrase that. Go sell his practice, because most people have a practice. They don't have a business, and a practice
right.
depends on you. And it's hard to sell a practice because if you, no one can come by you because you are the magic. But that's what we do, is now the plumber actually has a book of business. And if he has 3,000-4,000 people on a platform that he can reach out to beyond email with a 90% open rate versus email curated list, suddenly, if he ever were to get acquired and someone wanted to come acquire his business, he's worth a whole lot more money. So that's typically people would buy platforms to either increase, do what they do better, or create an asset that down the road that makes them more valuable if someone comes and buys their book of business.
Yeah. Yeah. No, see, and I love that. I love that positioning there, because it changes everything. You can have an app, and I remember the app craze. Oh, you got to have an app, and people were charging, like you're saying, they're charging this outrageous money, and people are getting apps, and they don't do anything. But if you have an app that delivers value, that tells you, hey, allows you to look for using the plumber. So you can go to your app and you can book the plumber. It tells you what plumber's coming out. Maybe it's got a picture of the plumber. It's letting you know that they're on their way, blah, blah, blah. All this other stuff, it becomes a value. And I love the idea of what you're saying. You have this highly engaged, curated fan base or customer base. Yeah, that has a lot of value. So I love this idea, Dean. I'm glad that you're able to stop by and spend some time with us. I'd love to bring you back and talk about some of the other stuff that we didn't get to, such as VRS, and I'd love to talk a little bit more about gamification on some of these other items, but we're out of time. But Dean, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and sharing today.
Oh, no problem. And I enjoyed it, and I'd love to come back on.
Good stuff there from Dean Gray. Dean Gray is the founder and CEO of Skylab, who, as I mentioned earlier, before my teleprompter blipped out, he is known for what? Being a futurist and an expert in the area of gamification. Check out Skylabs. And the reason I found out, matter of fact, about Skylab is we had one of his customers here on the show, and they were talking about how great Skylab was, and so I wanted to have those guys on the show. So do me a favor. Let's share this episode with everybody we know. Let's help people start to realize that social media is probably not what they think it is, that it is failing most of us, and it truly is. People hype about social media, and I think social media is on its way out. So let's share this episode. Let's help people understand what it is that they're trying to do by building a tribe, by possibly adding an app to their program. Remember, my friends, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.